This is Small Business Conversations on PBN, brought to you by Profits Plus Solutions. Increasing your profits plus building your business for the future. We are Profits Plus. You can find us at profitsplus.org. This is Small Business Conversations on PBN, the Profitable Business Network. Now, the host of Small Business Conversations, principal of Profits Plus Solutions, here is Tom Shea.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the December 2022 Small Business Conversations. Thank all of you who are joining us for the playing of this one, and for those of you who are listening to it by way of your various podcast services, thank you for coming in and joining. And by the way, thanks to all of you who made a point to connect with us and say how much you enjoyed the program there, where we had Mike McCormick, the CPA, talking to us about the employee retention credit. I hope we're applicable. Those of you were able to make the necessary application and get what is available to you from the feds. So let's talk about tonight's program. Tonight's Small Business Conversations, as it has been for about the past 12, 15 years, somewhere in there, is being recorded. It will be on the Profits Plus website, available as an MP4 file that you can click and listen to, or you can download to your personal listening device. Small Business Conversations is also available on a whole lot of podcast services. They include Amazon Music, Anchor, Apple Podcast, Breaker, CastBox, Castro, Google Play, iHeartRadio, iVox, Listen Notes, Overcast, Pandora, PocketCast, Podbean, Radio Public, Spotify, Stitcher, Verbal, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, as well as you can easily get it through your smart speaker with any of the podcast services that you subscribe to. Just tell them that you want to pick up Small Business Conversations with host Tom Shea, and you will get notification from that podcast service every time that we have a new episode available. So tonight's program, our guest tonight is going to be Gwen Bortner. Gwen is someone that I met because we each wrote for a trade magazine. And kudos to our friend who has the magazine, Creative Retailer, Heidi Kaisand, and she has some really interesting people who write for her. But Gwen writes an article, and it always seems to grab my attention, and I think, yeah, I want to hear what she has to say further. We're limited by only a certain number of words, and I would rather get to talk to Gwen when she can take and run full rein with this one. And she wrote a very fascinating article that dealt with the aspects of goal setting and perhaps the lack of goal setting and the changing of goal setting. I've never had anyone go in that direction. I think we're all used to what we see and hear on the media, particularly right close to New Year's, where they are telling you about setting your goals and how you should set it, and they get these people with these little tiny sound bites on the TV who tell you, oh, here's the five easy steps to setting a goal. But Gwen digs deeper, and I liked what she has to say, and I want to share that with you tonight, and doing so well before the time when all these people are going to start doing the thing right at New Year's. So I met her because she was a columnist for Creative Retailer magazine. She's a business owner just like us. She's a speaker. She's a no-nonsense operation strategist. This is what I like about the way she writes. It's there it is, plain, short, simple, easy to understand. She has this very intuitive kind of mindset, and as you speak with her, you can tell she's one of us. She's a small business owner, and you want to hear what she has said. She helps people to achieve what their goals are, trying to get rid of the stress and trying to get rid of this feeling to do it all by themselves. I'm thinking about a conference I was at this weekend in Palm Springs, and here was a gentleman that was asking questions, and I said, oh, you want to listen to the podcast for our December program, because the guest I have on, this is the kind of person you want to listen to what she has to say, because the way he's describing his challenges and the way I know of what Gwen does, it's like, yeah, this would be a good combination. She works in things from IT to finance to operations. She has a neat way of putting things into perspective to help us get rid of what burns us out, what frustrates us, what causes us to throw our arms up in failure. So problem solving is her thing. Someone who can look at your business independently and give you some great ideas as to what you need to do and help coach you through where you're going. Easy way to find Gwen is Gwen, it's spelled G-W-E-N, Bortner, B-O-R-T-N-E-R, GwenBortner.com. And with that being said, Gwen, you are with us here tonight, right?
I am, and I am so grateful to be back on the show with you. I was trying to remember, it's been, I think, maybe 2 years since we last talked, but I had such an enjoyable time. I'm honored to be a return guest.
Well, we appreciate it. And not to overly fluff your pillow, ever since we started getting a lot of recognition for the podcast, we get a lot of folks knocking on our door with, hey, well, here's somebody, and you need to have this person come and be the guest on your program, and here's what they do. And I respond back saying, look, I'm not looking for anyone who's motivational. I'm not looking for anyone that's rah-rah. I don't want anyone who's coming on who's going to say, let me tell you my personal story of success and how I made my wealth, whatever. And I go, we don't need to hear that. What we need is someone who is one of us, who has good, sound ideas that we can take and utilize in our business. And that's why when I see the magazine, I always do go looking for it and say, okay, does Gwen have an article in this one? And I pull them out and staple them together, hold on to them, go, this is going to be something that we need to talk at the right time. So I've intentionally held on to that article. If I remember right, it was last August, with a let's beat people to the punch of doing this thing that we see in the media all the time. Whether it's television or radio or a newspaper, it's, so here's how you set your goals in so many easy steps and why you need to have it and all kinds of that stuff. And I think that talking to you, because you have firsthand experience, I expect your logic makes a whole lot more sense than someone who's a journalist, a photojournalist, whatever it is they do. So let's ask you a bunch of questions. So these people are going to start talking at the end of the month about goal setting. So is goal setting always, and I use that word emphatically, always a good thing that a person's going to set a goal? I mean, let's not take credit that it's everyone's got to set them. Is it good? Do I always need to set goals?
So always is a hard word. Let's just start there. Always and never are really hard words to deal with. My feeling is at least almost always someone should set a goal. But what the goal is and how they approach the goal is where I think the difference is. The reason I say I think almost everyone should set a goal is it gives direction and it gives focus. And it allows us to have an idea of where we want to go, you know, where we're headed. The place that I feel that we get caught up inappropriately is that the goal is the destination. And I don't consider the goal the destination. I consider the goal a guidepost along a journey. And, I know you live up on a mountain, and so I'm assuming that you've, you know, occasionally go hiking or, you know, walk around in the mountains and whatnot. And I have a place up in the Sierras, and we do a ton of hiking. And it's one of those things that the goal is never, in my mind, to get to the specific spot. But I may be looking at a spot as a direction toward where I'm going. And then once I get there, I look at a new spot as to where I'm going. But I've also made specific choices from time to time to take a different path. But it's a choice, not a reaction. And to me, that's the difference about setting goals, is if you've got goals, then we can be really clear about, are we working towards something on purpose? Are we deciding to take a different path, but we're making a choice, or are we just reactively, you know, running all over the place, you know, kind of like a chicken with their head cut off?
Okay. So let me put one before you, and it's personal one. So I am completely open to you coming back and going, no, you're doing it wrong. My wife, a close friend of mine, and myself started a nonprofit. And we had ideas as to what we would do, where it would go, and things that would occur. What surprised us was that all of a sudden, a bunch of different avenues started opening up. And things that we had hopes for that would come to us at some point in time just start falling in front of us. And I have a couple of folks that we had asked about getting them involved to help us. And what I got from each of them was criticism because we did not stop, sit down, and write a complete detailed plan of every goal and everything that was to happen. So using us as an example, and I think people listening to the program tonight could look at this and going, yeah, I've had a situation where we're just, business is growing, business is happening. I think, for example, through the pandemic, people who owned liquor stores or people who owned bicycle stores or people who sold fabrics and sewing machines, business just went bonkers on crazy. I mean, the liquor industry was up 54%, and great number of opportunities showed up in front of all kinds of small business owners. And I likened our situation to theirs and saying, not that I don't want to do it, but for a while, we don't have time to sit down and do that. We have to, at this point, fly in the moment in what we're doing. This isn't like an airline where they have the thing, the POH, the Pilot's Operations Handbook, where if the plane's got a problem, someone pulls out the book or the iPad and starts looking through, check this, check that, that type of stuff. So using my experience as an example, can there be situations where you just operate in the moment?
I absolutely think so. And actually, this is where I think goals are really valuable. Because when you started, you had some idea of where you wanted to go. And like you said, then all sorts of, you know, interesting opportunities, you know, came in front of you. And my experience in working with small business owners is most of them are what, you know, we use the term a lot now, visionary, which means they have lots of ideas and lots of things interest them and they get excited about all sorts of things. And for me, the goal process, and it doesn't have to be a big, long, convoluted process, but just having one or two really clear goals, and like I said, as guideposts, not as destinations, allows you to make what I would call intelligent choices about all of these opportunities. Because anytime we take another opportunity, that means we're not going to be able to do something else. I mean, it's just, you know, the reality of it, that something is going to get sacrificed. Now, it may be something we don't care about, which is, you know, that's wonderful. That's lovely if that's the case. But if we're headed in a particular direction and all of a sudden we start going a completely different direction, there is absolutely no problem with that, so long as we're doing it with some intention, because we can see it's actually going to be the shortcut to where we want to go because of the knowledge experience that we have gotten. We realize, oh, hey, now that we're here, we realize that's actually not where we want to go. We want to go this, you know, this other direction. Or because we've gotten here, we now have an opportunity that we could have never envisioned until we got here in the process. So I really do feel that goals need to be dynamic. But without having anything in front of you, it's really easy to just be, kind of thrown about. If you think about, a sailboat without anyone really trying to manage it, it can just be, tossed around in the wind, and there's no telling where it ends up, and often it ends up nowhere. So I think that's where the balance is in this, is not that you have to get, really clear and define every step of the way, because I don't think we can define every step of the way. But I do think it allows us to make sure that we don't just end up, kind of chasing our tails over time, because it's like, ooh, look at this thing. Ooh, look at this thing. Ooh, I'm going to do this thing, which I think my experience, and even with myself, is it is a tendency. It's part of what makes a small business owner good at what they do, but it also can be a real shortcoming for small business owners as well, is easy to get distracted. And making sure that the things that that we're choosing aren't actually distractions, but are places that we want to be going.
There's an expression that I've heard when someone has failed at a goal or put a timeline to it and missed the timeline or a deadline to it, whatever. And so when I've asked that person that question, I get this expression of, well, we fell off the wagon. And I think when people are saying this, it fell off a wagon, they have a mental picture that here's a wagon, it's moving along, they fall off the wagon, and the wagon is moving on, so that trying to get back on track with that goal that they've set, they weren't getting it done with the speed they were going, but now they've got to work twice as hard to catch up to the wagon because it's gone down the line. And my comment has been, it's not a wagon that you're doing. This is a bicycle, if you need a vehicle. And the neat thing is, when you fall off a bicycle, the bicycle stops. It's right there. So you really don't have to work twice as hard. You just pick the bicycle up and go back at it again. Could that analogy be appropriate for people who are setting goals?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the thing about the timeline, and I am a big fan of putting a time, a time measurable piece of the goal, but not for the purposes of saying I succeeded or I failed, or I got here faster or I got here slower, as a judgment mechanism. For me, that's about saying, what do I learn based on this assumption I made? Because most every goal that we set, it really is an assumption about whether or not we're going to be able to make it. Even if it's something that we think we know, that we have all of the, all of the information on, because, who knows, there might be a pandemic that hits. I'm sure people who had, goals, sales and revenue goals and whatnot, that they absolutely positively were sure they'd be able to hit based on lots of history in their industry and with their business. And they went out the window, and they may have gone out the window down, or they may have gone out the window up, based on, what their particular industry was. So there's always something that can be out of your control, but the question is, okay, so why did I not do as well in hitting this goal as I planned? Did I not hit it because I fell off the bike and then I went walking away, into the forest and did something completely different? Did I think that it looked like it was only a mile, but in fact it was 100 miles and the bike just isn't fast enough to get there, sticking with that analogy? There's lots of questions to ask. And unfortunately, the ethos that we've gotten around goals is a kind of a yes, no, ethos of, did you hit it or did you not hit it? And if you did, you succeeded. And if you didn't, you failed. And I think that's where this becomes very problematic, because I don't think it is. I don't think it's a yes, no question. I think there's a lot of information that we can do as analysis as we look at that and say, was it the right goal? Did we have enough information? You know, if you've not ever ridden a bicycle before, you might think that you can go 20 or 30 or 40 miles an hour, but unless you have a motorized bicycle of some sort, that's not really possible. or, you know, if you're an extreme athlete, but if you haven't ever done it before, you may not know that. So you may just be making a bad assumption with the knowledge that you have at this point.
Okay. So we're going to take our first real quick station break. Let me tell you who we are visiting with and why we are doing so. Our guest is Gwen Bortner. Let me share with you, email is Gwen, G-W-E-N, at Gwen Bortner, BORTNER.com. Gwen wrote this awesome article that dealt with goal setting and multiple questions that I'm going to, as I read her material, always want to take and go, oh, I want to ask her this, I want to ask her that. And my advantage is we have this podcast program, and I get to call her and say, okay, let's go further in what the article says. I want to talk more about this. So let's take a quick station break, and we'll come back with Gwen and talk more about goals.
This is PBN, the Profitable Business Network from Profits Plus.
So, Gwen, let's ask this question. We've talked about the example of the bikes and people falling off. What is it about setting a goal that makes the thought of changing it or abandoning it or doing anything about it become something that we take so personal, like a defeat, or I can't do that, or it's like, I set this goal and I'm scared now to take and look at do anything with the goal other than just driving forever to get it done. Why is that?
I think there's two reasons for that. The first is our way too accessible access to everybody else's opinion. Through all of social media, all of those pieces, because so often it somehow these goals get out, and sometimes because, you know, we talk about them, and or we set these goals based on what others people's definition of success is, and when they get it, you know, they're celebrating, and when we don't, we feel like a failure. So I really think that that's one of the big pieces is that we are looking at other people's definitions of success and goals, and we're saying if we're not doing that, then we must be failing. But I think the other reason is because there is that whole kind of sunk cost issue that there's been all sorts of research on, that most of us will work harder to keep something, you know, that we already have than we will to get something we don't have. We will also, if we put effort into something, we don't want to stop that effort because it's like, well, then we wasted all of that time. That, you know, I think that's the first thought that goes through our mind is, oh my gosh, then I wasted all of this time because now I'm not doing that thing anymore. But what we don't give value to, which really has value, is what did we learn from the process? And so there's this assumption that if we, you know, abandon a goal, that we've failed or we've wasted time. I don't think either of those things is true. And often there's an association that if we change a goal, it's because we did something wrong in the initial, you know, setting of the goal, which I also don't think is true. We may just not have had all the information. We may have gained new information. We may have gained new insights. Going back to your bicycle analogy, if you're riding a bike and all of a sudden you discover, you know, there's a motorcycle on the side of the road and the keys are in it and it says, take me, then, you know, maybe you don't need to stay on the bike. Maybe you need to go on the motorcycle now. But you wouldn't have gotten to the motorcycle without first being on the bike. And so, I think that's the idea of being flexible, that goals are not destinations. They're just guideposts. And that's not the way that goals are discussed. Like you said, as we come into this season of goal planning, it's very much about plan the goal and achieve the goal, and the goal is the thing. And I think that's where we go astray. I mean, I'm assuming you've had similar experience with all of the businesses that you've worked with, that there's people who've set goals that maybe really weren't the right goals for them, but they wouldn't have known until they started down the path.
I agree with you. I think people take it and look at others and think, well, this is the way it's supposed to be done. In a presentation I gave recently to a group, I said, we get into this box of thinking this is the way that it's done. Sam Walton, I like finding people who have been very successful and hear their little tidbits. And Sam Walton was, you look at how people are doing it, and if you go 180 degrees away from what they're doing, you're more likely that you're going to be successful. Or someone like Bill Ford, oddly enough, sitting time in a hotel again this weekend, there was something on History Channel about cars, manufacturers, and what was going on. And the one credited to, not Bill Ford, that was something to Henry Ford, was if I had given people what they wanted, it would have been a faster horse.
Yes, and classic. Like,
wow, how different to think about it than what somebody does. So let me ask you this question. Can you take a goal, have a problem with it, abandon it, and come to a point and go, let's start over?
Yeah.
Can you just basically stop it, put them to halt? I'm looking
absolutely
for you to be the one who giving permission. Can I just restart this and go, and that was something, I didn't focus, I learned how to focus or something.
There's absolutely no reason why you can't stop something that you started, because the power that gave you to start it is the exact same power that you have to stop it, because it's yours. I mean, I'll pick on an example. That's just a random example. In these days, people are often encouraged to write a book. To get a book out there, that's a really good promotional material for a lot of small business owners. They want to write a book. And so people will start and they'll just like, struggle. And writing a book could be a really great goal, but you could get started on it and realize, I either don't really have anything I'm prepared to write about, I hate writing, this is not benefiting me or my business in any way. Instead, it's becoming a detriment. There's all sorts of reasons that you may start that goal and then say, nope, that's not my goal. I need to do something else. But often, back to, we don't know that until we start it. And so the point that we start it and then we say, nope, not right for me, I'm going to do something different, is also completely, completely fine. And maybe, instead of a book, they start a podcast. there's all sorts of options for people out there. And there really isn't any one right answer. It's one of my personal core values that I talk about with my clients all the time, is when we try to start fitting people into a specific box, we get way too many, square pegs and round holes. And most of us are square pegs when it really comes down to it. And so we need to really find our own correct square hole, as it were. And sometimes that means we have to try two or three different holes along the way.
Yep. Keep trying. We're quickly approaching the bottom of the hour. In advance of all the things that the media will come at all of us with in the next few weeks about what's your goal for New Year's and all the things that we've all seen and heard, we decided that we wanted to call in our favorite expert and have her look at it in a different direction. We're talking about goal setting. Our guest is Gwen Bortner. You find her online, gwenbortner.com, GwenBortner.com, or email is gwen@gwenbortner.com. So we take our station break, a little ditty of music for you yet to listen to. It will be back in 88 seconds. Stay with us, everyone. Station break, 88 seconds, because the little ditty that we found that we play is titled 88. 88 keys on the piano. So let's talk to Gwen some more. I want to ask you a question, but I want to preface it with a couple of thoughts. So a person establishes a goal, whatever it may be. I guess one part I'm going to ask is, does every one of them need to have a timeline for a deadline to it? And if so, if it's for a day, a week, a month, or a year, whatever sequence they go at, let's talk about the idea of, should they break it into pieces? Does it need to be broken into even pieces? How should they revisit it? Or can they leave it kind of open-ended and say, somehow or another, when a certain thought comes or certain something may happen, I want to relook it. So there's about five or six questions there. But the bottom line, Gwen, where I'm looking for is, what I see people saying is, boy, you set a goal, and if it's a month-long goal, you need to review that every 3 days. Every 3 days you got to stop and look at it. And I'm going, do all goals have to have such symmetrical balances to them that everything just neat little tied-up boxes? Can they be formulated different? And then bottom line, you know, do I have to look at, can I just not go at it and when I'm done, I'm done?
So, you know, this is a really, it's a fascinating question that you're asking, Tom. There are a couple things about this. First is, I think, you know, it depends on the type of goal that you have. And one of the things that I talk about with my clients all the time is, why is this goal actually important to you? And because the why really is the motivation. And unfortunately, we often go through this part backwards. We set a goal and then figure out why it's going to be motivating to us instead of saying what is motivating to us and what should be the goal that gets us to that thing. So that's my first piece. And that can look like a lot of different things. It can be, you know, much further out. It can be much closer as far as timelines go. It can be personal but still have business ramifications or vice versa. And so for me, that's the first piece, is to say, what really is important about this goal? Why does this matter to me? Because at that point, the motivation piece becomes way easier because we're no longer trying to force a motivation for it. We have a motivation for it. And so to me, that's the first element. Now, I will confess, I am a very traditional goal setter kind of, you know, mindset. I really do like it when a goal is measurable. But I'm not an absolute fan of the SMART goals, you know, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound, you know, that acronym that everyone's going to be hearing a ton of, you know, in the next month or so, because that one gets whipped out like nobody's business as January comes around. I do think it needs to be measurable so that you can measure it and you can have that conversation that we were talking about earlier about did we get it, did we not get it, why did we not get it, so that there's actually something to have a conversation around. But as far as how do we break it up, to me, that's a more fluid kind of question. Most goals, you know, if they're bigger goals, if they're longer-term goals, they are bigger goals. And so for most people, you know, I mean, there's always exceptions to every rule. But for most people, that becomes too overwhelming because if they knew how to just get there, they'd be there already. And so we have to think about things in steps. But perfectly balanced, measured, you know, I'm going to do that this week and the next thing the next week and the next thing the week after that. It's a good idea, but it's not necessarily going to work for everybody. I also do a lot of work around personality type, and the last character in the Myers-Briggs, the J or the P, is how people observe and work with time. And so J personality types actually like to break things down in a pretty symmetrical kind of way. And if it's a one-year goal, they really like to think about it as, you know, 12 months and how many weeks in each month, or four quarters and how many weeks in each quarter, and, you know, how many days am I working this week? And, you know, they'll really think about it that way. The P personality types really tend to get energy around it as they get closer to the goal. Now, that also can be a downside if it's a really big goal and there's a lot of things that have to happen. You know, the old saying, you know, nine women can't make a baby in a month. You know, some things just take time. Right? And so you have to account for that in some cases. And so in that is a place where thinking about where do we want to be along the path at any point in time. And so for me, that's where looking at goals and breaking them down into smaller bits works really well. Personally, I am a huge fan of looking at goals at a quarterly level, and reviewing them and going through all that process quarterly, because a quarter is a time frame that makes sense for most businesses. Most businesses have lots of things that function on quarters anyway. It tends to be kind of seasonal, you know, a quarter is sort of seasonal, and that also sales cycles and buying cycles and vendor cycles and all of that often fall onto quarters. And it's long enough to get something significant done, but not so long to lose track of it. And I think that's the downside if there's not some sort of a plan, if especially, like I said, for more of a year or a longer-term goal, that it's easy to lose track of it if we aren't at least reviewing it at some sort of somewhat regular schedule. And then personally from there, I like to look at what makes sense for the 13 weeks within the quarter. Because certain weeks you can look at and say, you know what, this week, I'm not planning on doing anything on this. You and I were speaking before we started the call about the fact that you were traveling last week and that you were at trade shows. Well, that would be a silly week for you to plan to get a lot of tactical work done on your business because you're going to be busy at the trade show. And so for me, that's part of that planning process, is to say, what can I reasonably get done in this 13-week quarter, knowing that, you know, maybe you're on vacation for 2 weeks and you've got this trade show and that trade show and this other thing and, you know, this family event. And so being realistic about what can be done in that time frame. That was a very long answer to your question. Did I hit out all the points? I may have missed something.
No, your answer was good because I'm looking at my questions and I'm thinking, boy, does this ever show I'm a candidate for attention deficit disorder? It's like, well, now this is a point and here's a point, and this kind of relates to this and that, which leads me to the next one. What's a sign that I've got too many goals going at the same time? And I say that from perspective like, oh, I'm taking the assumption that I can have more than one goal at a time. I don't know how personally I'd survive with only one goal at a time, but if a person has multiple things that they want to work on, does there become a point where it's like, I've got too many goals going in, and how do they know that? What's the sign that says, you know, you probably have put a couple of them on ice for a while because you're getting too lost in them?
So my guideline, and it seems like it's worked with everyone I've worked with, so this may not be 100% true, but it feels like it's a really strong guideline, is for longer-term, bigger goals, you generally want to only have 1 to 2. But they're broad enough in their description that isn't necessarily limiting you from doing, you know, other things. So, for instance, you know, a classic goal will be a financial goal. I want to have, you know, X revenue for the year, right? That's a broad goal. There's a lot of things that can fall under that will be working toward that goal. But when I think about bigger goals, longer-term goals, I really only want to see one or two when I'm working with my clients. Because if we get too many of them, that's where it's very easy, I think, for folks to get distracted. And what happens is we get a little ways on a whole lot of things and we don't get anything completed, which can often lead to, you know, an element of frustration because it's like, well, I'm not actually getting anywhere. And it's like, well, it's because you've got an inch, you know, on 1,000 projects, you know, instead of 1,000 inches on one. So that's my first piece on that. But the other aspect of it is as I start moving into smaller and smaller increments, then I will look at a few more goals. But even quarterly, when I'm working with my clients, I encourage them to not have more than 3 or 5 goals that they think that they can get done in the quarter. Because although that seems, you know, like not very many for some people, so long as they're really goals and not just tasks, you know, just all I need to do is this thing and then it's done. But goals where you're actually striving. And potentially have a little less control of the outcome. One of the phrases I use with my clients is outcome-based goals versus activity-based goals. And what I mean by that is an outcome-based goal would be, for instance, revenue. Because you don't have 100% control over your revenue. There's a lot of things that you could do to influence it, but you still don't have 100% control over it. But activity-based goals are things like getting out a newsletter. You have 100% control over that. Whether you do it or not, it's up to you. Now, you may choose to not do it. That's, you know, no judgment one way or the other on that. But that's an activity-based goal. So when we're talking about goals, I'm typically thinking much more around outcome-based goals. And I always encourage my clients to have at least 1 or 2 outcome-based goals and potentially 1 or 2 activity-based goals because, of course, activity-based goals often lead to the outcome that we're looking for in the outcome-based goals. So it's a balance there that I'm looking for. But I really try to limit it to less than the number of fingers on your hand, on one hand, not both hands.
As we look at goals, what is the value, or where is the value, and or no, throw this thought in the trash can, Tom. Achieving a goal, whether it is an outcome goal or an activity goal, and when this has you've crossed this line, here's a reward for you. Here, you know, dangle a carrot, just like we talk about dangling carrots in front of our employees to engage them. You yourself, here's a reward that you're going to give yourself, whether, again, activity or an outcome type of goal. When that's achieved, you get to go do this, or you get to go buy this, or you get to change this, or whatever it may be. What's the value to those, or is there a value?
Well, this goes back to what I was saying before. I don't focus as much on that with my clients, because I really encourage them to first focus on why is that goal important? What is their motivation? Because often the goal itself is the carrot, because it's really what's motivating them. Because by achieving whatever the thing is that they're striving for, it's really the next stepping stone, or it's going to allow them to do this other thing. And so that becomes the carrot. Whatever that real motivation is really becomes the carrot. And that's, to me, why it's really important that business owners particularly, because they don't have their boss over them with a carrot. You know, they are their own boss with their own carrot. And really that motivation piece has to be the carrot. It really does, for it to be, you know, super, super useful for them. And so if the goal doesn't have a good motivation, there's almost no carrot in the world that's going to make them do it. It needs to have its own internal value within, and within that's really where the carrot lands. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. I'm just thinking about myself and my situations, and as I hear people, and it's like, now I like the reward at the end, whether it's like I'm glad it's over, but it's just like, hey, you did this. Okay, here's something. I mean, I have, call me materialistic for nothing else. I have several things that I can look around in my life and say, that's there because there was this goal I set, and that was accomplished. Or we had a gentleman who worked in our business for many years. He was worked for one of the big agencies in Chicago, and he did a lot of freelance work. And he says, you know, this could start to pile up. And he says, what I did to establish goals for myself was to create the invoice for whoever the client was going to be, whatever the project would be. Here's the final invoice. The date was not on it, but here's the dollar amount. And he says, and I had a bulletin board, and all these invoices are put up there. And when I'm not feeling inspired that I want to get to work and get this done, it's like, I think I'm going to go play golf instead. He says, I will take and walk over and look at that bulletin board, see those things there, and go, wow, well, that's a lot of money. You know, I want that money. And he says, that's the, for lack of a better word, inspiration that sits me down and says, get to work, because you can't have this money until this is done. And I just, for whatever reason, well, in fact, he was a great employee and became a good friend. The idea that's how he dangled that carrot in front of himself.
Well, and see, to me, that's exactly, that's a beautiful example of the idea of the motivation. Was his motivation in this case, you know, what I'm hearing is he really wanted that money because that was going to lead to something else. And what you described as well is you look around your own life and you can say, because of this, I was able to purchase that, or I'm able to have that, or I'm able to do these kinds of things.
Yeah, I go here, I do this or whatever. And it's like, yeah, in my life, they become little personal markers. I mean, they're not there with so-and-so, where they got signs on them, but I look at something and go, that's because I stuck to it. That's there because I stuck to it and got this done. That's how I value my work. I made a point to get it done, and that's a reminder of what happens when you buckle down and get something done.
Exactly. Interestingly enough, though, not everyone, I mean, a lot of business owners are, it's part of the reason we're in business, but a lot of people aren't motivated truly by a money thing. They need something else to be motivated. And so to me, that's why that motivation point is really important, I have seen more times than I'd really care to, you know, care to list, where people say, oh, I want to grow my business to X, but they're actually not motivated by the size of the business they think they should, because that's what society has taught us is the definition of success. But what they really want, you know, when you talk to them, maybe more time with their family or with their children or with their aging parents or, you know, whoever it might be. And they also don't really want to be managing people. It's like, okay, well, then those two things aren't going to, you know, you're not ever going to be able to motivate yourself enough to do that, because it's completely contrary to what motivates you. And so to me, that's where that internal motivation piece of being really clear and honest with yourself, which I think is the hard thing, because back to society has gotten very vocal about what success looks like. And I don't think that what we see as quote unquote the definition of success is by far, in my mind, not the only definition of success.
Okay, last station break of the evening, everyone. We are visiting with Gwen Bortner. We're talking about goals. We're getting ahead of the rest of the world and talking about them, but we're talking about them from a different perspective, because we're talking about changing them and dropping them and reevaluating them. Quick station break. We'll be right back with Gwen Bortner.
This is PBN.
Okay, Gwen Bortner, gwenbortner.com. It's GwenBortner.com. Gwen, in about, 9 minutes left in the program, I got three questions I want to put before you.
Okay.
Do all goals have to be measurable?
My quick answer to that is at least some degree, not necessarily in all aspects, but there needs to be some way to say, am I still headed toward the thing that I'm trying to head toward? And that usually means there's some sort of measurement associated with it, almost always.
Okay. Second question. I have a goal. There's something inside me that's either I've lost complete interest to it, there's something wrong about it, but somehow or another this whole thing isn't right on target the way I envisioned it would go through. What do you think I'll tell somebody to do?
The first thing I'm always going to ask is why. Why do you think all of those things are true? Because most of the time, people's intuition is right, like, you know, 90%+ of the time. Occasionally, it just got hard. It's not that it's not where they really want to go. It just got a little harder than they were expecting it was going to get. And so sometimes we just need to give them a little extra motivation. It's like, no, that's okay. You can get through that. But in the 90% category, what I'm going to tell them to do is first say, okay, let's not do that anymore. And then say, what did we learn from that? And what does this tell us about what we want to do next? Because I'm a big fan of taking every experience, and I am someone who does not at all live in the past at all. But I also know that entrepreneurs and business owners are very bad about taking time to learn from what just happened, both the good and the bad, particularly the good. They're really good about learning from the bad. They pay a lot of attention to it, but the good as well. What do we learn from that? And so what did we learn before we just run off and do the next thing? What is there to learn from the situation? But continuing on, almost never, like I said, there are a few exceptions, but almost never makes sense. It's time to do something else. But let's make sure that we make as good a choice as we can based on the new information we have from this part of the experience.
So tying into that, I said three questions, but now what you've said there makes me ask this question. I've got this goal. My instinct is telling me, not sure. I'm concerned about the goal. You have guidelines, I would anticipate, that says, nah, you're at the point, just give up on it. Close it down. It just needs to go away. But I'm sure there's a tighter way to say that or to think about that. What are you telling somebody?
Most of the time, I want to talk to them about why they're having these feelings. Because like I said, usually it becomes very clear, and often it's truly an intuitive thing. You can tell in their body language, like it just drops, and it's not, you can tell they've got no energy for it at all. And in that case, it's like, yeah, this probably just isn't the right thing. I will usually ask questions about why did they think they wanted to do this, and often what I will find is back to society. Could be familial, could be cultural, could be, you know, other things, but some aspect of society has told them that's what they were supposed to do, and so that's not a good enough motivation. And in that conversation, really making sure that it's not just because they're at a spot that they don't know what the next step is. And that really is the piece where I will say, no, we need to continue on. You're just stuck for the moment because you're not sure about the next step, as opposed to I have no desire, no interest, or I've learned enough to know this does not make me happy.
But you still could have a client who would come to the point of just saying, "Nope, I'm just not going to do that.
Yep, and I would say fine.
A different direction.
Yep. No problem.
And it's not a personal defeat. It's time to go.
Yep.
All right.
That's
so
no
here's
problem
your last
at all.
Question of the night. Somewhere soon when that starts on all the media about goal setting. I mean, you know, it's like you really got to realize the media has no creative thought when it comes to the end of the year. I feel like they go to the closet somewhere or go on to their computer and say, open up that folder about New Year's Eve, goal setting, okay, and go find someone on the street, hopefully they're sober, and ask them these same questions, the same questions you asked somebody last year. I mean, that's just what I see of it. It's like, God, this is stupid stuff to what they're doing. All right, but for those of us who are looking at it, not from the standpoint because New Year's is coming, but there's an expression that's always hung with me, and it relates very well to goal setting, and it's something to the effect of that trying to decide when you're going to start on a goal is often a problem itself. That you just, like you're hung. It's like, well, you know, we're going to get to this. We're going to start this. So what I relate that thought to is saying, we're not that far from New Year, from January 1st. Okay, why does this stuff have to start on January 1st? What's the deal? Why do we get hung on picking a date as compared to, this is what I want to do, and okay, I'm going to do it. And just go.
So I believe it is a saying from Confucius, but I can't swear that. It may be from someplace else. So no one hold me to this. But what comes to mind immediately is the best time to plant a tree for shade was 20 years ago, but the next best time is today. Right? So, you know, it really is. No reason why we can't start now. And for me, as soon as you're really clear about what you want to do, whether it's January 1st or December 14th or March 22nd, you know, or any other date on the calendar, that's the day that you should start. When you've got clarity about why this goal is important to you and what that's going to bring you and why you want to do it. Trying to force yourself into having a goal on the 1st is just as silly as not starting it on the 28th when it comes to you. I mean, you know, it's both of those are not, you know, are silly ideas. So, and it's one of the reasons why I'm very much about, you know, continuing to reevaluate on a very continuous basis, because things will come up in between times. And, you know, and as we talked about very early in this call about opportunities happen, right? And changes happen. When, you know, March of 2020 wasn't exactly the goal planning time, but everyone needed to start reevaluating their goals because of all the things that was happening in the world. So, you know, we pick that date just because it's the beginning of the year, but any date is the date as far as I'm concerned, so long as you're actually motivated for it. I'd rather you wait till January 10th when a really good idea came to you than trying to force an idea about what really is going to motivate you on January 1st.
And perhaps the same would be true for, I have this idea and here's a goal and I start off with it, and maybe what I should do is have this idea for a goal and let it sit for a while and think about it, and then go, okay, now I'll make a goal of it. That was just in the moment, I got all excited, and 3 days later, now the excitement's gone.
Yeah, both things are true, because sometimes we do, you know, have that fabulous idea, you know, in the shower or elsewhere, and we realize, like, you know what, I don't really have the energy for that right now. I'm not really excited about it right now. And it may, as you said, it could sit on the shelf for a while, and another time I'd be like, oh, now is the time. Now is the time for that fabulous idea.
Okay. So everyone, we have enjoyed, I've thought it's a great hour, of visiting with Gwen Bortner. So perhaps we've sparked some ideas, giving some thoughts for things. Maybe you want to talk to my friend Gwen. So it's Gwen, G-W-E-N, at gwenbortner.com, G-W-E-N-B-O-R-T-N-E-R.com. This all came about because of an article she had written. Oh, Gwen, please do keep writing. I so enjoy the material that you write about. They give me great ideas, and I go, we got to have Gwen come be on the program for this. I thank you that you would take your time, because you had plenty of other things you could have been doing today, and instead you were very gracious and you responded and have donated your time for people who listen to our program to pick up ideas. Very nice.
I'm always honored to be on the show and love the conversations that we're able to have. So for me, it was a pleasure as well. Thank you very much.
Everyone, we'll be back next month. We'll take and we'll announce soon who the guest is going to be. And I can already tell you, our guest for February is going to be Ken Banks, Retail Advertising Hall of Fame. Ken likes to come on and we rehash what we saw in Christmas advertising, who won, who lost, along with Super Bowl, who won, who lost, and the way they got their message across. And March guest, it will be the president of SBDC. We always like to celebrate SBDC in March. And state director, I believe, from Kansas this year, Greg Jordan. That being said, thank all of you for being here. It was a great evening with you, and we look forward to talking to you again.
It has been our pleasure to share fresh ideas and trends from premier small business owners, coaches, and resources. Join Tom Shea and guests next month right here on Small Business Conversations from Profits Plus Solutions. This is PBN, the Profitable Business Network. Visit our website to learn more about us at profitsplus.org. There, you will find our catalog of small business conversations, articles and advisories, news, meeting planners, calculators, and resources. Also, we invite you to connect with Profits Plus Solutions on our various social media channels. Please like or connect with us on Facebook, LinkedIn, SlideShare, Twitter, and YouTube. We have links to all our social media channels on our homepage at profitsplus.org. Thank you for joining us.